have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. You'll hear our faintest cry. You'll answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it. You know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. You'll hear our faintest cry. You'll answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it. You'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. You'll hear our faintest cry. You'll answer by and by. You feel a little prayer turning. You know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus. Oh, sing it now. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. You'll hear our faintest cry. When you feel the prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it. You'll know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you believe that when you just breathe that name, Brother Terry, it brings a peace about you, don't it? Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you joined church here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord just met with us in a wonderful way. The worship service, even after Brother Donnie ministered last night, just amazing what the Lord is doing in our midst. And I'm just glad to be in this part of the world, in this building, aren't you? I really am. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege. Play a little bit more of that, brethren, if you will.
Clears the way. So let us have a little talk with Jesus.
answer by and by. We feel a little prayer will turn it. You'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Hallelujah. One thing we don't want to happen around here. We don't want our fire to go out. How many of you want to be on fire for the Lord? How many of you want to do something to make a mark in this life for the cause of Christ? You may not do one thing outside of just living a godly life and being a Christian to those around you, but that's a testimony that'll go down in history. I'm glad to be a part of God's economy, aren't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Jesus a big hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Brenda Jones wants us to pray for Charles Dares. He had a stroke on Fridays in the hospital, so let's remember that need today as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Fred Green has a special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Also, Brother Fred says he wants to thank God for answering prayer for his grandson, Dion Wolf. So we praise the Lord that God came on the scene on his behalf. Just praise the Lord for that. I have a note here. This, well, actually, it's a piece of paper in regard to Sister Jan Winters. As you know, she's been battling sickness for the last 3 months. And this is just a detailed information sheet about her. I think they put this on the sisters' restrooms. Also, Sister Joy Sherman may have a copy if you'd like to pick one up. Just some things maybe that you could do to help Sister Jan. We sure appreciate our sister, and we miss her not being here. We miss her presence in our assembly. She's always had a great spirit and a great attitude. So there's some things you might want to be looking at as far as helping her. Just pick up a copy of that. Let me make these announcements while we're in process of doing this morning. Brother Rocky Ward says that any of the brothers who would be willing to help on the parking lot for next weekend services, please meet with Brother Rocky in the fellowship hall after the service. Expecting quite a onslaught of folks coming in for the meeting, which will commence this next Friday night. And if you could be of assistance to those parking lot brothers, I'm sure they would appreciate it. And remember, there will not be any service here on this coming Wednesday night, but the meeting will start on Friday night. This is in regard to the picnic on July the 5th, which is next Saturday. We should do as we did the last time, bring a side and a dessert or two sides. We will begin the line at 11:30. So please be there on time. Volunteers are needed by 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Thank you so much. So remember these announcements, these prayer requests. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know God's able to meet your need today? I believe that with all of my heart. Let's stand this morning if you would. Brother Brad, if you'd come lead us to the Lord this morning on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit these things under our Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Love you, buddy.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity once again just to be gathered here, Lord, just to be able to come together and just in one accord and just be able to be gathered around your word and to just have a true man of God just be able to step out of the way, Lord, and just be able to come and gather around that light, Lord Jesus, that we be able to see our faults, Lord, be able to just see that next step above us, Lord God, and to know that when we reach that step, Lord, you have another step right above us, Lord God, to just keep us moving on. And we just thank you, Father, for that drive that you put in us, Lord God. And Lord, we just ask that you just bless this service today, Lord God. May you just bless our minister, Lord God, bless the song service, and bless us as laity just to be able to pull on that gift, Lord God. And Father, you see the requests that have been mentioned, Lord God. There are some of us, Lord God, that aren't here in the service tonight, Lord Jesus. And we just ask that you just bless them, Lord God, wherever they may be, if they're streaming the service. And those that will be archiving it later, Lord God, may you just help this service to be a blessing to them. And all these requests I hold in my hand, Lord God, and the ones that were signified by somebody's hand being raised, Lord God. I pray that you just your presence just goes to them, Lord God. May your perfect will be done, Lord God. If there's deliverance that needs to be done, Lord God, I pray that you'd be able to do that, Father. And I pray that you just go to each one that needs a healer, Lord God. May your perfect will just go to them. May your presence just surround them, Father. I ask that you just bless the service now, Lord God. May our worship be acceptable in your sight, Father. May you just give us a refreshment, Lord God. Just give us something of eternal value tonight, Lord God. We're anxious to hear from you. We ask that you just bless this service and may you just come visit your people, Lord God. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Brett. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you here. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service today, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Aren't you glad that when we, I'm not glad that we mess up, but aren't you glad that when we do make a boo-boo or a mistake or something happens in our life, that Jesus don't throw us in the trash heap, but he'll start working all over again. He didn't throw the clay away. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Empty and broken, I came back to him. Vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin, but he did not despair. He started over again. I'm blessed today. He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus this morning, if you will, just before we got a couple of specials today. I'm going through, by God's grace, I intend to go through. How about you? Well, we got 44 people that's wanting to go through. Rest of you are going to wait and see what happens. How many of you plan on, by the grace of God, you're going through? Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going through, by the grace of God. Now give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. Well, I'm going through, I'm going through, I'll pay the price, whatever others do, I'll take the way with the Lord, despise you. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through, yes, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised you. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. One more time, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised you. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Well, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised you. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Amen. God bless you. Let you be seated this morning. Brother David from Florida is going to be singing again for us this morning. Had some requests for him to sing again, if he'll come and sing for us. Brother Caleb, if you'll come onto the platform and get ready to sing after Brother David sings, we'll go right on into the service. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing this morning.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipse my glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. Jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us, oh. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Bless you.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in his sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Oh, day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me what I never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak to me. Show me why. Wrong and make it right. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine. Lord, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Let your love shine through me in the night. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
If he'll shine down on us and live in us and shine through us, I guarantee we can face anything that life ever brings before us. Let's turn today to Luke chapter 22, verse 52. Luke chapter 22, verse 52 and verse 53. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let's read verse 53 again. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessings on the word today. May you take it, speak to our hearts, make it live, we ask, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you today on the hour of darkness. This is your time. This is your allotment. This is the time that was given to these people by the sovereignty of God. They couldn't have taken it on their own. They couldn't have actually made it happen on their own had God not allowed it to be. It's scary. It's frightening sometimes when we as mortals will see the allotment of time that might be given to darkness against us or against the kingdom of God. But yet if we could look on the other side of that allocation of time and know that God will bring us on the other side and God will help us as he's done before, then it gives us the strength to be able to face it. We want to pick up where we left off last night, and it's the very last week of Jesus' life. He's come into this city riding on the donkey just a few days prior to this setting here. The people have applauded him as being a great king. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They've worshipped him. They've adored him. He knows that it's only a matter of time because a mob is finicky anyway. A mob can be manipulated according to the loudest voice. They just influence them this way, and next week they're going that way, and next week they're going that way. So Jesus knows that he can put no trust or confidence in what the mob is doing. But Jesus also has realized by his position being identified in the Word, being a God-man, and we know that he was, that the deity of God would bring to pass what the humanity could not do. But the humanity must do what deity could not do. Deity could not die. And it must be humanity that would die for us. The deity was certain and for sure, like your deity is if you've got the Holy Ghost, that God will help you through no matter what you ever face in life. But it's the humanity that gets afraid. It's the humanity that is weak. And I imagine for the last week of the life of the Lord Jesus as a man, that he was afraid. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he feared. You do believe that? As a God-man, he had the ability to fear. As God, of course, he didn't fear anything, but as a God-man, he did. But we see the last week of his life, as I said last night, he was spending this time in Bethany, which is at the house of friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, which is on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, going east out of Jerusalem. And Jesus is spending the last week of his life here with them. So God has already spoke what's going to happen, but there's certain things in between prophecies that God does not ever give, never gives every identification of every particular that's going to happen. So God will sometimes utter out major things, even in that he'll say it in such a way that it's cloaked, and whenever it's happening, the natural people looking at it, seeing it right in front of their eyes, and they still have no idea the prophecy is taking place. And then there's other times that God will allow prophecy to be so fulfilled feel that even unconverted people are able to see it. So here, many things now are fixing to transpire in the last week of his life. Went very, very slow. Prophecy in the Old Testament might go for hundreds and hundreds of years for one thing would come to pass, and then 250 years, 300 years, another promise would come to pass, might go 1,000 years and nothing come to pass. But here, the last week of his life, one verse after another, after another, after another, the few hours, last few hours of his life on the cross, it was just bam, 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 just like that. One thing after another. And it could be the same way in the day that we're living now. But here we're coming into a spot where it was, in a sense, it was a lull after the administration of the Spirit of God is now moving through his gift. He's healed the sick, raised the dead, and now they're coming up to the latter part of it, so it's like that something has been allowed to catch up. And we know that God does that. That God will send forth the prophetic part on his side, and then God will allow the negative part in order to catch up. And then when it catches up, then it can
be almost an explosion on both sides under the law of contrast, a positive and negative both, how that they begin to be fulfilled. So you're sort of a lull in this week. Now he's come in riding on the white donkey, and that prophecy of course fulfilled. And now there's been a few days whenever nothing has really happened major. So it seems as if though everything is going well. But with this particular setting that we're going to pick up on today, in Matthew chapter 26 verse 6, something is going to bring about a great, great change. When Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now let me reiterate to you again that Simon had formerly been a leper, but he was not a leper now, or he would not be having a feast because nobody would be eating with him. It's just the way that they did it. But can you imagine now the setting of this house, this feast, that there is a man who is formerly a leper. There is a man by the name of Lazarus, which is also a guest, who was formerly a dead man. There's other people there who's formerly blind. Other people that formerly lost, formerly this, kind of sounds like the setting at Happy Valley this morning. Former drunks, former liars, former prostitutes, former whores, former this, that, the other. Oh my, sounds like Jesus has been around here somewhere. So, you know, imagine that the mindset of the people must have been totally different than what the mindset of the Lord Jesus would have been. Imagine how we are as people that we can totally miss things that God is doing because we're so caught up either in what we think He's going to do or we're giving praise for that which He has done. And there's only two people sitting here that's aware of what is fixing to transpire. The Lord Jesus, of course, being God and being totally in tune with what is fixing to happen. The rest of the people, it must have been an atmosphere of a joyous occasion and a great feast. And my, they're just rejoicing all. What it is to be on the message of the hour. Oh, thank God we're following this Messiah. What a great thing. Look at there. Look at Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. Look at Simon. He used to be a leper. Look at this woman. She was this. And this man was that. And they noticed Jesus was so solemn. He was so solemn. What's wrong with him? He's not in very much of a worshiping mood. What's wrong with him? He seems so different. What's really going on with him? Then there's another person there which has been in tune. She's been hearing the same things the rest of the disciples have been hearing all along. But somehow or another, she has heard it in a little bit different way. Amen. Now, I want you to notice how that Mary in verse 7, there came unto him a woman. Matthew does not disclose her name, but John does. Having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. Now remember, this happened twice in the Gospels. This happened twice. This is not Jesus with dirty feet. That's a total different setting altogether. This is now a different thing. He's being set aside. He's being allocated by the providence of God to be anointed for burial. But there is a member of his bride who's going to be used by God in order to usher in the setting aside of Jesus' burial. Now, it's not angels. It's not even deity doing it. But it is a human being who has a special understanding and a special, Lord have mercy, a special relationship with God. And God is going to allow her to enter into this place in so much that her name will be told with this work she's going to do. It will be identified as part of the gospel as long as the gospel is told. Oh my. And there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now Mary was actually blessed with a deeper insight into the spiritual realities of this occasion. She was given a spiritual insight that Peter, James, John, even the preachers of the messages, we call them, that they were not given this insight. Now, look in verse 8. And when his disciples, plural, saw it, they had indignation. Now, they were not just bothered. But the Greek word here is that they got so angry that they were indignant. Now, they really got mad. Now, watch how good people can be caught up under the satanic anointing of darkness and totally miss something that God is doing in a supernatural way. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, now notice what they say, to what purpose is this waste? Now this Greek word that Matthew chose to use is the word that means perdition, destruction, and damnable. This is the same word that Paul uses in Thessalonians when he said the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. So here the elect apostles look at a great work of God, which was given to someone other than them. And of course it couldn't have been right if it was given to somebody other than them. And they call this great work of God damnable. And the woman who done this, we ought to really do something to her. This is perdition. John tells us in St. John 12 verse 4, the first one who began to vocalize this. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now let me remind you that 300 pence was actually 300 Roman denarii, which was a whole year's wage. So this that Mary did cost her money. It cost her shame. It cost her humiliation and embarrassment among the people she went to church with. Because to Mary was given a special understanding. It wasn't her fault she saw it and the others didn't. Now watch. In verse 6, John says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare. Look at this word, B-A-R-E. What was put therein. And the word bare means he took out or stole what was in the treasury. Now here we are sitting at this great meeting. A man has been raised from the dead is there. And a man has been cleansed of leprosy is there. All kinds of things are going on. All of a sudden in comes Mary and Martha about doing what she normally would do. And Lazarus being a guest at the table. And Mary comes in and it seems abrupt. It seems out of cater in one sense. It seems that it's not really in order. But yet she's divinely inspired by a pulsation that she cannot describe. It was a pulsation that she could no longer hold within herself. Something was demanding expression. It was something that she must do. She had no quotes to back her up. She had no scriptures that say she even had a right to do it. But she had a pulsation of faith. She must obey that pulsation. What will Jesus say? What will the apostles say? What will Simon say, who was the host of the feast? She was not worried about what Simon said. She was not concerned about what Judas said. She was not concerned about what the apostles said. She's concerned about what Jesus says. I'm afraid many times we go to church, we live our lives, we do the things around us, and we're concerned about what the Joneses and the Smiths and the Reagans and everybody else says, and we leave Jesus completely out of the picture. I don't want to offend you today. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you like what I preach or don't like what I preach. I don't care if I'm too emotional for you. I don't care if you think I'm too hard. I want to look to my instructor and say, how do you like it? How do you like the way I worship? How do you like the way I praise? How do you like the way I preach? Luke says in Luke 22 verse 2, and the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas. So God is made manifest in a body of flesh
and now so is Satan.
So we have the Romans, which, as I said to you last night, the Jews under Roman law could not initiate or carry out capital punishment. So the Roman law must be used to kill him. So we've got them playing their part. We've got the priests, the Sadducees, the rulers, and all them. They've got a part to play. The disciples have a part to play in prophecy, and this part it'll be negative. For the shepherd will be smattered and smitten, and the sheep will be scattered. Other people have their part, but there's still a missing section, a missing part that will tie it all together. There must be one from the inside, which will be an instrument of darkness. Now, Satan somehow picks out, you know, Judas did not have an inferior ministry to the rest of the apostles. He may have started out as a believer, may have started out what seemed to be genuine and sincere and all of that. But yet Satan already knew where he could go to. So Satan actually enters into him. Verse 4. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. Now the darkness was taking over Judas. And the rest of the disciples had got under this expression of darkness. So here they are sitting at the table. This great feast going on. Oh my, it must have been a wonderful time. And Judas, this begins to raise up in his heart. This is wrong. Now what was it that he saw now about Jesus that somehow turns him? Now up to this time, there had been no expression, as far as the apostles had given us when they wrote these gospels later, that anything that Judas saw had bothered him. Now maybe it was accumulation, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back, as we say. But there was something happened there at the table. What was it that he saw in Jesus that bothered him, that he said, I can no longer follow this man? There was something about this exorbitant offering? Was it something about a woman doing this? What was it that brought him to the place that he said, I'll never preach this again. I'm finished. Something happened from that time. Lord Jesus. Now watch. Matthew 26:10. Let's go back to the table now. So Mary has anointed Jesus, and the thoughts are going around and around, and then the vocalization of those thoughts. This ain't right. This should have been used for the poor. And then here says, that's right. Amen. Preach it, Judas. Glory to God. That's just Peter and John and James making fools out of themselves. I'm glad these things are written in the Bible. It makes me feel better when I make a fool out of myself. I'm going to say it for you. You all have made so many fools out of yourself. I don't see how God even loves any of us. But he does. I said he does. Here they are amening the devil. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but this is astounding to me. Now Jesus, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? John says, Jesus said it this way, let her alone. Wow. So here is Mary. Now she has made this tremendous sacrifice. And they were wealthy. They were more wealthy than the average people, surely. But yet this was still a sacrifice for her, a year's wage. So she gives this tremendous sacrifice out of the bidding of some supernatural source that she cannot even explain. And now instead of her brothers applauding her, Peter, James, and John, the minister, I thought, oh, this is absolutely wonderful. This is just great. They are sitting there ridiculing her. They're making fun of her. They're actually putting her almost without the economy of God. Woman, you're of the devil. You're of perdition. You have done a work of destruction. This is the word here that they use. You are fit to be destroyed. Then Jesus says, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a kalos. Beautiful, excellent, precious, beautiful to look at. Look at the exact opposite now. They're calling it the work of perdition. Damnable. And Jesus says, damnable? This is beautiful. This is wonderful. This is choice. This is premier stuff. I mean, you guys don't know what's going on. You have just called a beautiful work damnable. Been there and done that. All the rest of y'all must raise your hand. We'll all say it together. Been there and done that. Yielding to this driving impulse. Maybe backing away and crying in her emotions. And my, she's just so tore up. And all of a sudden she hears the rumors going around the table. And now she's crying because she's so misunderstood. Of course, Jesus takes his words and wraps the shield of protection around Mary and says, let her alone. The truth of it is, friends, some people just cannot take it if others can love God in a deeper way than they can. They just can't handle it. They just cannot handle if some people can sing or preach or pray or go to church or live for God in a way that they will never be able to do. So what do? They must find fault. They must berate them somehow. They've got to bring them down. These disciples did not have a clue as to what was going on. Now you imagine, look here in Matthew 26:11. Jesus says, you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. This is the mystery now. How did she know? She was the only one in the room who knew other than Jesus. Now, it was not like that she did it for one reason and the Lord was taking it for another. She was doing it for the right reason. How is it that Mary knew and believed Jesus was going to be killed, going to be betrayed, and going to be sold into the hands of the Gentiles, and they would kill him, and that he would rise again after 3 days, and now she is giving vent to that expression, so her belief and what the Lord Jesus said required physical expression. Let me say this to you. If we believe this Bible the way we say we do, we will live what we say we believe. And if we don't, then we're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites and we need to get out of the way. But if we really believe what we say we believe, it will require physical expression and physical manifestation. She believed that Jesus was going to die. She believed that he must give his life on the cross. How does she include it into this understanding? And there was Peter that was totally in the dark. One who knew. One who knew. Was it because her hair was longer than Martha's? Reckon her robe was 3 inches longer than Martha's, and that's what made her more holy? The clue is very simple. It's where you always find Mary when Jesus was around. When Jesus was around, you'd find Martha in the kitchen. But when Jesus was around, you would always find Mary, not just around Jesus, but at Jesus' feet. You see, depending on where we are when Jesus is around, is how we will hear what Jesus has to say. Just because Jesus is around and we're near where he is doesn't mean that we will get it in quite the same way as someone else. You see, whenever the Lord Jesus came around, there was all of these things. It wasn't like that he gave Mary secret coded messages and he rolled up a little script to her and sent it to her. And she was the only one that had this special secretive message. He had actually said the same words in front of Mary that he said in front of John and Peter. But it was something about Mary's relationship with Jesus that opened up her understanding and included her, oh, hallelujah, included her in a preview of the resurrection.
Is it any wonder when he raises from the dead, she's the one who shows up and he calls her name Mary.
Hallelujah. Oh brother, we better be clued in if we want to hear our voice in the resurrection. Mary knew it. Now watch this. In Mark chapter 10 verse 33, Jesus tried to tell the others and share it with them just hours prior to this dinner that they're sitting at, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes. They shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. How much plainer can you get? I mean, he goes in so many details that you think, my, any of the disciples there ought to have known what's going to happen. But Peter comes right up, more his great bold stand. Lord, I'll stand with you. They're not going to take you. I'll do this and that and this. And come on, Peter, wake up. Wasn't you hearing to that sermon on events made clear by prophecy? Wasn't you listening to what Jesus had to say? But there was one person. The disciples didn't understand it. They was too concerned about who was going to be the biggest preacher in the message. Once Jesus had left.
Preachers can tend to have that tendency. Or more concerned about the size of the congregation or how many folks stream their service or how many folks think they're the biggest or did they get the most anointed or did you sweat more in your shirt than I did on Sunday? I don't figure that makes any difference. If we're both wet, we're both waiting, can't wait to get out of that wet shirt. That's the way I feel.
Well, how many streams your services? Don't really know, don't really care. If it's left up to me, I'd never stream another one anyhow. You think I got the internet? For me, it brings me nothing but heartache and trouble and all kinds of damnation from the outside. If it's left up to me, I'd shut the service off today and never stream another time. I don't do it for me. I don't make CDs for me. I don't ever hear one. I've never listened to a sermon I've preached. I don't make singing CDs for me. Glory. Come on, children, don't get quiet. Don't you understand what we do should not be for ourselves? Well, I want to be big. I don't want to be nothing. I want to be something God can use. If it's a little bitty old tiny something or whatever, what difference does it make if it pleases Him? And look what this had done to them. There they sat and they are now under the force of darkness. It is pressed around them. It ain't no wonder that we get under the influence of darkness sometimes. We spend too much time worried about money. And we spend too much time talking to this one, that one, the other. And we don't spend enough time at the feet of Jesus. And then we run into somebody that's at the feet of Jesus. And most time we get jealous and don't like them. Because they see something we don't see. Or they have that special something that we don't have and we can't take it. So we pick them to death.
So where do we find her in St. John 11 when her brother has died? And Jesus is fixing to raise him from the dead. We find her at the feet of Jesus. Where do we find her when the feast is given? And her sister Martha's out in the kitchen preparation. Where do we find Mary? At the feet of Jesus. Here at the feast that Simon is not giving, where do we find Mary? In the same place. At the feet of Jesus. If you want to be closer to God, let me tell you, I'm not sure if you'll admit to it or not, but there's only one person stopping you from being there today. It's you. It's because our money and our fame or whatever more that we want, you spend all the time with your family and time with this and that. You want people to recognize you as what?
I'd rather be recognized by Jesus. I would rather for Jesus to include me, Brother West, and what's going on in this hour than I would for the world to know my name. What good to do? I'll die and I'll go by the way of the grave if time tarries. In a few years, I'll be forgotten. Nobody won't remember me, no how. Maybe my kids and some of you every now and then. But all I've done for Him is going to last. That's the only real thing. What if we amount to, what if our name and we're professional this and professional that, and when we're all gone, what happens to our profession? Somebody else comes along and is better than you ever was. And then we give all of our life, but why don't we find more people spending time like Mary at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me how to love. Teach me how to forgive. Teach me, Lord, to be inclined to what's going on in this hour. Help me, Lord, that I can be so in tune with the Holy Ghost that I know what's fixing to happen. Mary was a part of what was fixing to happen, and the rest of them were sitting there condemning her. I wonder how John must have felt when he wrote this year's letter. Had John reminisced himself sitting there at the table beside Jesus and remembered his vocalization? That's right. I'll tell you one thing. That stinking woman. I really like this. In Hebrew idiom, sitting at one's feet meant only to learn from that person. Our problem is we're at too many other folks' feet. So in Hebrew idiom, to say that you were sitting at the feet of Jesus, you were sitting at the feet of your rabbi, your teacher, your parent, whatever it was. It was you were so focused that you received only for them. Not that others could not give you something, but if others told you anything contrary to what this one said, you would not take it. It ain't no wonder she was so inclined. Oh my. Years ago, two men on a train ride, an elder man, which was a great Bible scholar and a great Bible teacher, and a young guy, which this younger man had made this older man his mentor. So he looked at him. Oh, he had such respect for this guy. Oh, what a great speaker the elder man was. So they're riding from point A to point B, and they're going along on the train, and this young man sitting there reading a newspaper, and the older gentleman sitting up there reading his Bible, and reading his Bible, and reading his Bible, and reading his Bible. And the young man said, they're reading the newspaper, reading this and that and the other. And the young man turns around and he looks at the older gentleman and said, oh, I admire you so much. I wish I knew the Bible the way you do. The old man very kindly and gently turns around and tells him, said, you'll never learn the Bible by reading the newspaper all the time. Hallelujah. I know it's a very simple story, but it carries a lot of truths. We'll never learn about the feet of Jesus sitting under the feet of the Democrats or the Republicans or the politician or this and that and the other and filling our mind with money and the price of gold and the price of diamonds and the price of this and that and the other. I want to know the price of serving God. Did anybody see that in the newspaper today? You read about the price of platinum and the price of steel and the price of tin, but is anybody willing to pay the price that Mary paid to serve God? I am, Lord. So you imagine you and Jesus are in this room. It's crowded. It's filled with all these other worshipers. All these other people that's talking about the message. Talking about what God done. Talking about this and that and the other. And you and Jesus are the only ones that know. You imagine the rest is just rejoicing. So happy and just so elated. And now Mary gets this expression on her face that looks almost like Jesus. Yeah. While the world of Laodicea goes on, boy, our churches are bigger than ever. Man, they're greater. Oh, hallelujah. Man, we're going to win the world to Christ. There is no such a thing. But what do we get in the look on our face? God, hell is laying before this nation. Judgment is coming. The atomic bomb has got our name written on it. And what do we look? We've got this look upon our face. Not that we're not happy now, but we've got this serious look on our face. We got this look on our face. Oh, Lord, hide me, oh, blessed rock of ages. Hide me, Lord, that said that it cannot be said about Donnie Reagan. From that time, Donnie Reagan preached the message. No longer. So something happens around the table. And now Judas sees his way clear. He is now the missing link to tie all the cogs of prophecy together. So here sits Jesus and here sits Mary. They alone understand what's going on. Watch in Matthew 26:12. Jesus says, "For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." And you look at these Greek words, and it's with this intent. She was not messing up and said, "Well, I meant to do that. Oh, I didn't know it. I didn't know it was spiritual." She knew it was spiritual. It's the exact same words that Joseph of Arimathea, when he anointed the body of Jesus. She did it on purpose. They're rejoicing because of his healing. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. And Mary is saying, "Lord Jesus, I set you aside for your grave. I anoint you for your burial." In actual fact, the burial is 6 days away. But Jesus has now been consecrated and set aside by a member of his bride in order to receive the next stage of prophecy. Brother, sister, let me say to you today, we are not setting our Lord Jesus aside now to be buried. We're setting him aside to be crowned. Praise be to God. Who do you think is going to crown him king? It's going to be the saints. Angels ain't going to get that opportunity. It's going to be the saints of God who's going to crown him king. And what are we doing? We want to be so a part of his word. We want to be so a part of him sitting at his feet. This man has good things to say, and that man may have good things to say. But if they say things contrary to my teacher, I will be honorable, I will be respectable, but I will not receive it. If they say things contrary to my rabbi, my teacher, the Lord Jesus, I'm not going to line up to it, because he alone has the key of heaven. He alone has the way of eternal life. Amen. Notice in verse 13, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman has done." Here we are, 2014, and I'm fulfilling the words of Jesus once again. It's been told all over the world in every major language that there is in the world. Mary, was her claim to fame, was not trying to make something out of herself. She was placed in the identification of the word by what? Humbling herself under the mighty hand of God. Following something, not trying to make a show. She wasn't trying to make something out of herself. She's following this pulsation. She suffers rebuke. She suffers reproach. This cost her a great deal to do this, not only money-wise, but in her pride. For a woman to rush in and do this, the women wasn't even allowed to sit at the table. But they would put them over here in another room. For her to rush in like this, she was willing to suffer the reproach, the embarrassment, the humiliation. It made no difference what everybody else thought. If she had Jesus' approval, that's all she wanted. And Jesus said, because she has done this, everywhere the gospel is preached, her name will be identified with me. Oh God, may it be so that the word of God can be so preached in our lives that when he's preached, we're preached with him. Lord, mercy. Amen. May I be such a believer in this word that when the word is preached, the word is who I am. Very next verse. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. So now Jesus is praising Mary, identifying Mary. And after Jesus exalts the position of one of his elected ones with the word, now is when the son of perdition makes his move. Every cog is sitting there. The Roman government, the Jews, everything's there. But there needs to be one more
to start. So Judas is finally set. His part will only last a few moments. His price was very cheap. But it will cost him everything. But he's like a tiny, tiny wheel in a clock that fits right and makes all of them go together. So something happens at supper. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And Judas gets up from the table and starts out. Now remember, this is not a foot washing. This is prior to foot washing. Judas, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. Now he's offering, remember, not only to tell them where Jesus is, but to be a witness at his trial.
That's right. Think about it.
So here is a man who stood and preached Jesus, preached healing by Jesus' name, deliverance. Now he's saying, I will now stand and be a witness against what I preached in prior years. The person now betraying our Lord Jesus, Judas, a professor, Judas, a preacher, Judas, an apostle. Watch this in the Sardesian church age. You will note here that Judas was one of those who were casting out devils in Jesus' name. But we know that he was a devil, the son of perdition. St. John 6:70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. St. John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, if language means anything at all, we must admit that Judas was chosen by Jesus. St. John 13:18. Yet he was not clean. St. John 13:10-11. Judas was also given to Jesus by the Father. St. John 17:12, let it be noted here, choosing and giving is the exact parallel as in the illustration of Moses and Pharaoh, Jacob and Esau. For though Esau and Pharaoh were both foreknown, they were predestinated to wrath, while the end of Moses and Jacob was glorification. 1 Peter 2:8-9 shows both reprobates and elect, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. Judas was numbered with the 12. Actually a part with them in the ministry previous to Pentecost. Now watch him giving scriptures now. Acts chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. Men and brethren, this scripture must have needs been fulfilled which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us. Here is the beginning of New Testament apostasy. Apostates are not from without. They are from within. Notice the work of apostasy. Evangelization of apostates is not concerned with the lost. It is not to go out here and start campaigns and start bringing people from the ground up. The work of apostasy is to go to those who are already saved, who are already in a move. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Didn't Paul say the same thing? Men of your own selves will rise up and bring disciples after themselves. That's the work of apostates. Amen. Now notice about Judas, that part that Judas obtained amongst the 12 and then lost was neither inferior to the ministries of the other 11, nor was it a devilish or foreign ministry interjected amongst the ministries of the others. Now remember, it was not the ministry of the devil. It was actually the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:25, that he might take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas, a devil, lost a God-given
Holy Ghost ministry and killed himself and went to his own place. His name was even in the book of life.
Dear God. Now watch what happens. Something now begins to move within this man. Matthew 26:14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. Unasked. Uninvited. It's not like they're standing outside passing out tracts. We're looking for a traitor. Anybody be a traitor? Anybody want to sell out Jesus? Anybody want to sell out Jesus? He actually makes the offer himself. Can't you see? He's turned. From that time, he turned. What was it that he saw at the table? What was it that he saw that so gripped him? He walked in a so-called message preacher, message believer. He walked in a Jesus follower. But something happened in that meeting, and he turns and walks out. I will betray him.
Amen.
I can't stand this no more. I pray to God's divine mercy that I never know how that man felt. I pray to God none of you do. Now watch in verse 15. And he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him. Notice, he never mentions the name of Jesus in any of his discussion with these people.
I will deliver him unto you. Now it's not them saying, oh, come on. Can we work out something? Will you please work with us? He's saying, I want to work with you guys. We've got to stop this move.
Yeah. Come on.
This Jesus is leading people astray. There's something wrong about this. We've got to stop it. And I've been on the inside. Things that you don't know.
That's right.
Lord God, speak to us today. So he says, what will you give me? Typical thief.
They didn't ask him. They did not tempt him with money. He tempted them to offer it to him.
What happened at that table? From that time, what happened? So they coveted with him, Matthew says, for 30 pieces of silver.
Maimonides, the historian, physician, great man during the time of historical times of the children of Israel, says, the atonement of servants, whether great or small, whether male or female, the fixed sum in the law is 30 shekels of good silver. The price of a slave.
So they tell Judas, the way we look at it, Jesus is no better than a woman that would stand out on the slave market to be sold to clean your house.
Right. Amen.
Or a stable boy. Or somebody to hook up your chariot with your horses.
Right.
He's a slave. So we'll give you the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver.
Sure. Yeah.
Judas says, I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
Let's shake on it. You've got to be kidding me. This man who cast out devils, this man who had preached Jesus for 3 years, whose name was on the book of life, given to Jesus by the Father, had actually been baptized in water by Jesus himself. Now watch how Matthew words this in verse 16. And from that Jesus. From that time, he sought opportunity. Not to do it openly now, not to do it, but start secretly and, you know, try to work all these things behind the scenes. So what does Judas do? He goes right back among them. Hey, brothers, praise the Lord, glory. How y'all been? What y'all been doing? Oh, we've been following Jesus. Glory, praise be to God. Boy, we're blessed, ain't we? To be living in this day. Glory to God. I'm telling you one thing. We got the light of the day. Hallelujah. Oh, so you think that automatically his physical something changed and the disciples detected something? Well, your view is wrong. Because when Jesus sat there at the table some days after that and said, one of you is going to betray me, they didn't even know which one it was. So the actor goes back in around the message, folks, and acts the same way he's always acted. Because he was an actor. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And the word betray means to deliver into the hands of an enemy by treachery or breach of trust. To do it while friendship and faithfulness is professed. Now when Judas, of course, leads them to the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 27, verse 1, they take Jesus into the Sanhedrin, which according to their own laws was against their laws to have a hearing at night. So they wait till the morning, and when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. I want you to notice, they ain't gathered at the local bar. It ain't streetwalkers. It ain't prostitutes. It's not whoremongers. It's not bootleggers. But notice who it is. It's chief priests and elders. And when they had bound him, Lord God, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now watch. This one cog which had now served into the timepiece of God's economy had now rolled around and done his position. Now he's interlocking now with the priests and the elders. Now they are doing their part. Now they are turning it over to the government. Making it public, you know. The churches won't have authority to kill us, so they'll turn us over to the government. Come on, church. Don't get quiet on me now. Now watch what they do. So they turn him over to Pontius Pilate. Now Pilate has the ability, of course, to kill him. Now watch in verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, speaking about Jesus, when he saw Jesus was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. Now he's deserted by the tempter. Now he's deserted by those who worked with him. He by his own choice has forsaken the Lord Jesus. He by his choice has forsaken the message of that day. He no longer fits with Jesus or the disciples. He formed a temporary allegiance with these people, but they were only using him. Satan, which had entered into him, had now apparently left him, as he did the serpent, once the deed was accomplished. And now Judas' conscience is awakened, and he comes back to himself. You imagine, as long as the person of Satan was in him, he didn't realize what he had done. He never come to himself. And when Satan leaves him, like Satan left the serpent, you imagine the animal, the serpent, as he come to himself and realize what he had done. What have I done? I've committed adultery with this woman. And then the tempter leaves him. And as the devil left the serpent and left him standing there for the judgment, now Satan has left Judas. And when Satan went out, Judas' conscience is awakened. And it's like, what have I done? What have I done? This must be a dream. There's no way I've done this. Satan has now left him. He's laughing at him.
So Judas, he figures he'll go back to the people who became his friends. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. What did they do? Oh, God bless you, brother. Come join us. They said, do you think we want you around here? Leave us alone. You traitor. If you would betray him, you would betray us. So now the devil don't want him. The chief priests don't want him. What he valued so much, the price of the silver. Now he no longer wants it. Dear God. Notice Matthew, the way he says this. In Judas, which he had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. The Greek word translated here, repented himself, indicates not a sorrow for sin that leads to a change of mind and action, but a regret at being caught. So he repented himself. He repented himself. And we find out what he got when he went to the scribes and when he went to the Pharisees. I just can't keep from wondering. Wonder what Jesus would have said to him if it had went to him. You just wonder. Wonder what the apostles would have said. But now he's become a part of this move. What is Judas? The same thing that some of you will become. Upon. You think these people want you to join their ranks because they love your soul and can lead your soul to eternal life? How can a man who's not even born again lead you to eternal life? So the devil don't want him. The chief priests don't want him. The scribes don't want him. So he finds himself in this place. Now watch what he does. So he wants to bring the 30 pieces of silver. Give me just a few more minutes. Can I? His conscience is now awakened. Matthew 27 verse 4. Saying, I have sinned. Now tell me what you think about him, Judas. You've been with him. You've slept with him. You saw his miracles. Now that your conscience is really awakened, tell me, what kind of man was he really? I have betrayed the innocent blood. You ought to be shouting the victory right now. This is his enemy. If you ever have any doubts of Jesus being true, come back to the words of his enemy, what he testified about him. I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? But I thought you wanted me to be a part of it. I made a video for you on YouTube. I thought you wanted me to be a part of it. We don't want you. Stay away from us. That's your problem. You see to it. So a few hours they use him. And here comes the end of an evil association. Now his soul is sold to the devil. No way back. The devil don't want him. The priests don't want him. They won't even take his money back. There's only one place for him to go. Suicide. Matthew chapter 27 verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And went and hanged himself. An apostle. Hanging on a tree. A former preacher of the message of the hour. a follower of the message of the day. Going from city to city proclaiming, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Come, listen, listen. Jesus is here. Our deliverer is here. And now he's swinging on a sycamore tree. Those lips which had told the good news. Now the tongue is hanging out of his mouth. For by choking it would have strangulated him to death. He's hanging, suspended between the heavens and the earth. Merciful God. Verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, oh my, I hear they get all religious. Oh, I love my Bible. Them bunch of hypocrites. They had broken so many of their laws to do what they had already done. And now all of a sudden, they remember, oh, it's not lawful for us to take blood money and put it back into church treasury. Where do you figure that money come from in the first place? Church treasury. So they took money out of the church treasury to buy lies and deceit. But they sure wouldn't put it back in. The hypocrisy of deceived people, it never ceases to amaze me. Verse 7, then they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in, which is called in the book of Acts a kaladama. So Jesus' purchase price was used to buy a place where poor people could be buried. Now watch. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. How many believes the word of God is infallible? There's no mistakes, no errors. Now after church today, what I'd like for you to do is find me where Jeremy said this. Jeremiah. Now Matthew quoted it and said, Jeremiah said it. And I will stand on my head for 32 hours and gargle peanut butter and eat broccoli if you'll find it where Jeremiah said it. Or you can take my word for it and I'll read it to you that Zechariah said it. So I guess that means we have to throw this away, right? Now wait a minute. No. If this right here said Jeremiah said it, and Jeremiah didn't say it, then don't that make Matthew a liar? Really? Huh. So you mean there's an understanding to it? How many of you all have it though? Two of you? Three? Five of you? Most of you don't have the understanding, do you? Well, I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. Now, how come that you can read that in your Bible and it does not shake your faith in the absolute vindication of this word? Because it's revealed to you that this is the truth. Whether you understand it or whether you don't. Whether theologians or whoever more try to point to you things that you don't understand, you're not Judas. So you're not relying on your intellect, on your ability, you're relying on your heart. And your heart tells you this is the truth, whether or not I understand it. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12 says, and I say unto them, if you think good, give me my price, if not forbear. So they weighed me for my price, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. The hour. Of darkness. And the Bible says Judas went to his own place. Now let me close with this illustration. Some people think there were three crosses, but there were actually four. Every person in this building, every person that will hear this service is identified in one of those four crosses. We've got an unbeliever. We've got an unbeliever on one side. We've got a man which starts out as an unbeliever but becomes a believer. And we've got a make-believer. And we've got the Word. And all three of those other guys maintain their identity based upon their relationship to the guy in the middle. The man on the left-hand side, the man that refused to be able to receive Christ as his Savior, he went to hell and was lost because he refused to accept the Lord Jesus. Right? The man that accepted the Lord Jesus, he had no works, he had nothing to do. Can you imagine him going down in paradise? Can you imagine this man going down in paradise and Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And Abraham opened up the door down and said, who are you? Where did you come from? What did you do on earth? And that guy said, where am I? I don't even know where I am. All I know is that man up there told me I'd be with him in paradise. Oh, glory. Well, I'm the prophet Daniel. I'm the prophet Jeremiah. I'm Ezekiel. I've done this, that, the other. What did you do? All I've done was said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, my, there may be great people that will say, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. And they may look at me that day and say, what did you do? I'll say, Lord, remember me. I don't want to perish, Lord, with the unbelievers. Save me, Lord Jesus. Jesus takes the repentant thief to paradise. Judas takes the unrepentant thief with him to the regions of the lost. So here a former message preacher has followers, leading them to where? Hell. Hell. Each of us in our own way are influencing people around us. By what you're telling them and the way you're living, are you leading them to heaven? Or are you leading them straight into the tribulation period? And will they wake up in the tribulation one day? Mothers, will they wake up and point their finger in your face? Fathers, will your children wake up and point their finger in your face and say, I thought you told me that what we believed would get us out of here. I thought you told me this message wasn't important. I thought you told me what you believed would put us in the rapture. What are we doing in the tribulation period? Think of it, children. The kingdom of darkness has received an allocation of time to press against the elect. What will we do when the darkness comes? Stand up. He that now let us will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked one be revealed. May God help every one of us. Men, women, boys, girls, preachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, trustees. Any of you that's in authority, having influence over people's lives. Think of what an awesome place we stand in this day. By our persuasiveness and our ability to influence and affect people, we have the ability to lead them into the presence of God or away from his presence. Children, don't be sold out to the devil. You think he loves you any more than he did Judas? He'll do you the same way that he done Judas. You imagine down in the regions of the lost when them people are there and they reminisce the sermons that they heard, service after service that they sat in this church or whatever church they went to, and they refuse to line up to the word. They refuse to do it. In hell, they'll hear my voice screaming over and over. They'll hear God's prophet. They'll see the evangelist, the brothers here at the church preaching sermons that God sent to them day after day after day in the regions of the lost. The torment is not just fire. You're going to be tormented with what? Truth. You imagine the torments of hearing it and knowing it, and something happens within you at the table. The table. And your heart was changed. I don't believe this anymore. I can't believe I've even believed this long. What is wrong with me? I'm leaving. I'm finished. Well, I'm leaving too. And I'm finished. I'm finished with the world.
I burned all my bridges. I don't know about some of you all. Apparently, a lot of the folks in the message didn't burn their Pentecostal and Baptist and Methodist bridges because they're still using them. I burnt mine. I ain't got no way back. The Pentecostal people I used to preach to, a lot of them done dead and gone anyway. They wouldn't want me back no how. That's good. I don't want to go back. Praise the Lord. I'm going on. The Bible said my soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. We're not drawing back. We're pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I have and no doubt will continue to mess up many times. I've made many mistakes along my life's journey. And if any that I've made has caused you to stumble, I humbly beg your forgiveness. But I refuse to allow my mistakes and my stupidity and my ignorances to stop me. Because the way I look at it, stupidity is only in an element of time. So before I was stupid, I was smart. Before I was a human, I was an attribute in the mind of God. So my stupidity and my ignorance is only a temporary time setback. Why should I let my ignorance stop me when I'm a part of Him? Why should you let your mistakes stop you when mistakes had a day they begin and they will have a day they end? Time had a day it started, it will have a day it ends. Our weaknesses had a day they start and they will definitely have a day that they end. So why should we let any of that stop us? Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord today with all the sincerity of your heart? I want you to pray for me. Our youths are also gone, many of them up to youth camp. We know we want to pray for them. It's ongoing all this week, not just ours, but many that will be attending there. Pray that God will do a work in their lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today in this solemn atmosphere that we feel, Lord, I know this kind of preaching doesn't make us feel like rejoicing, really. It's fearful. It's fearful to me, and I'm the one preaching it. I don't believe for anything that I'm a Judas. But Lord, when I hear things like this preached, I always check my heart, check myself. It's not that I doubt my experience, I doubt my flesh. I want to make sure there ain't nothing hiding there that I'm not aware of. You went to hell for me, so I never worry about going to hell, because I'll never see that awful place. But what does concern me, Lord, is that my flesh might get in the way. And since my flesh is not born again, it's just accessible to the realm of darkness. I feel it when I go to pray. I feel it pressing against me sometimes when I try to study. I feel it pressing against me here in the church when I try to preach. That's why our attitude sometimes will become to where it's just not right. It's the darkness pressing against us. We'll say something to our wives or our husband or children or whatever more. We'll give a smart remark or we'll talk about somebody, whatever it is. And then no sooner than it leaves our mouth, we feel so bad with it. Why did I say that? How come me to do that? And it's because the darkness is pressing its way. Them apostles sitting there on the table. The prince of darkness had now incarnated himself in one of their brothers. And the darkness had so permeated around them that they got under the influence of that darkness. But thank God, it was only for a little while. Amen. They was able to get out from under it. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, not to stay under darkness. I don't want darkness to rule me. No, Lord, if I make a mistake or something along the way, help me to be like David, quick to repent, Lord. Quick to make it right, Lord God. Let me be like Mary, Jesus. I know I'm not a great preacher. I've never asked you to let me be. I've never asked for money. I've never asked for fame or nothing like that. You know, my heart since a little boy. I've always wanted to live for you and please you. Grant me one thing, would you, Jesus? Grant me a place at your feet. Grant me a place at your feet. Even if the intimacy shared with me is not to be repeated to others, they should exalt me, and I'll hold it to myself. I'd rather be that than a great big person. I'm not made to be a big person, Lord.
I'm just a little person. That's all I am. That's all I ever want to be. But let me be a little person who loves to be at your feet. And if a little inspiration drops my way every now and then, I'll certainly thank you for it. Others may need to be in the kitchen preparing great meals and my doing this and that and the Lord. I don't down that at all. That's necessary. We got to eat. I don't down other people and what they're supposed to be. But I'm just talking about for me. Some people are made to be great people and big people and all that, but I'm just not made that way. I'm just a simple fellow. But if I could just sit at your feet and learn of you, if I could learn of your meekness and your lowliness, Lord, and I could be in tune to what you're doing, let me be like Mary. As we see the end time coming around us, I wonder how she must have felt when she looked around. You all these people laughing, beating one another on the back, more than just rejoicing, having church. And she's thinking, don't these people know what's fixing to happen? Don't they have a clue? Don't they even know what's fixing to transpire? Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. We love you, Lord. Lord, you saw the hands of these people that was lifted, hundreds of them today. Lord God, I speak this before you because you know it's the truth. The fear of trying to lead these people overwhelms me. If you'd grant to me my petition today, I'd resign from this pulpit. I'd walk away from preaching. I'd never preach another sermon. I'd get me a job. I'd come to this church or wherever I could go. And I'd stand behind the man of God with all my heart. Not because I don't love you or love your children. Just the responsibility of being a preacher. They bring their children here, their wives, these brothers, and they commit them to my charge, and they believe that I'm preaching something that will get them to heaven. Lord God, it's enough to drive a man crazy. But Lord, I didn't call myself. I didn't want this. So I believe if you call me, you'll equip me and you'll help me. Lord Jesus, I pray for these men today that are leading their families. I pray, Lord God, that you'd help each of them. The mothers that are the fifth gospel. Are they instilling values in the children? Not just ABCs and all those sort of things, but values. Grant it, Lord. The hour of darkness is being released against us. But illuminate us, Jesus. Illuminate us. Then come and take us home. Even so. Come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I received a text this morning, Lord, from a brother friend of mine down in New Mexico, and they had an earthquake down there last night. 5.2. Said about 30 miles from where they live. Shook their houses, their town. The old earth is trembling and shaking. She's getting ready. Oh, Jesus. May we get ready, Lord. May we get ready, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love him, children, with all your heart. You know what? My feet's pretty small. And if all of y'all tried to gather around my feet today, man, I tell you, somebody's going to be left out. But Jesus is so wonderful and so great. All of his children who really want to can gather underneath his feet. And what's amazing is he can make it feel like you're the only one there. That you can have such personal, intimate time. Most of us will miss that here. Having a big church, that's always one of the drawbacks to it. We'll never really get that close time that you want and I want until we get over yonder. But you can have that with Jesus. Do you want that? Is that the kind of experience that you want with God? Let's just worship him just a little bit before we go now. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus. Come on now, Mary. What was Mary doing? Worshiping. Martha's in the kitchen. Lazarus is over here laughing. Peter's down at the other end of the table. John is over here and Bartholomew shaking hands with James. And James and them is talking about this and that and the other. And Simon the leper is talking about this. And Lazarus is sharing his testimony, been raised from the dead. And where do we find Mary? At the feet of Jesus. Come on, Mary. Make your way at his feet today. Oh, you've got your jobs, you've got your businesses and things to run. Don't get so busy on your job that you leave Jesus sitting at the table. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, I worship you, Lord. I adore your name. I magnify my soul, oh Lord. Praise you, God, from my soul, oh Lord. I praise you, God, as I sit at your feet. I hear your words as I sit at your feet. I hear your words. My eyes see your eyes. My heart feels your heart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. It's just me. It's just me and you, as we're here alone, as we're here alone. I love you, Lord, with all my soul, from within my heart. I adore you, Lord, from within my soul. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. You're my Adonai, my Lord Most High. My Jehovah Nissi, my banner so high. My Jehovah Shalom, you're my peace in the morning comes. You're my Jehovah Rapha, my healer in the dread of night. You're my Jehovah. Forget what I'm going to do after church. Lord, I lay aside where I'm going to eat. I lay aside my afternoon plans, Lord. I find myself at your feet. I want to worship. May you peer in my soul with your great lovely eyes. See if there's anything there, Lord, that makes me calm. May your word be redeemed in my attributes. May I lay aside everything but my absolutes. May I love you, Lord, my bright and morning star. May I worship you. I love you. I adore you. I magnify you, Jesus. 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 My Jesus. My Jesus, is he yours? Is he yours? Call him yours. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Healer. Hallelujah, my Lord, my Kinsman, my Goel. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
raise your hand, won't you? Oh, come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord God. I want to see your face. Belong here, Father. But there's one thing I want to see your face. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands and sing it together? Come, Lord Jesus. Can you say it with all your heart? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, sweet every day. But we prayed and joined our faith together on the promise of the word. Now he's down to 20 every other day. Well, it can move to every 3 days and every 4 days and then no days. Amen. Let's pray for our brother. Heavenly Father, we know there's a great difference between a miracle and divine healing. A divine healing may come step by step, stage by stage, which actually requires more persistent, long, enduring faith. A miracle, faith may drop down in a moment of time and it's done and it's finished. But with divine healing, we'll face the symptoms, and the symptoms may regress and they may get better and they may get worse. But real faith and divine healing, as says, as Abraham said, I am healed. I'm the father of many children, even though I don't have one. We stand here today and we rejoice with our brother, Lord, to see what you have done in his blood sugar. But Lord, we want better. We want more. Lord God, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you'd move with our brother and bring a complete deliverance, dear God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't our God wonderful? Isn't our God wonderful? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Larry, let's sing together. Oh, how I love Jesus. I want to let you go. Won't you remember the services now next weekend? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We just come and expect the Lord to just visit us in a great, special way. Amen. Diagnosed our brother with cirrhosis of the liver. But I've got another medical journal over there. And his diagnosis says, by his stripes we're healed. I don't downplay the medical now. We thank God for everything that they can do to help us. But sometimes they just can't help us. Sometimes they have bad news. But the gospel is good news. Heavenly Father, the doctors may be doing everything they know to do in looking at the tests. They wasn't trying to fabricate anything or make up a lie. The evidence apparently points in that direction, that our brother has cirrhosis of the liver. But what's that to you? Absolutely nothing. Lord God, we lay our hands upon our brother. The believer standing here with me today, we join our faith on the promise of the Word of God. If you don't mind, sir, I'll remind you of some of your words. Your words say this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desire of thine heart. You also said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. You also said, if any two on earth agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done for them. Lord God, we believe that is the truth. Your word also tells us, by your stripes we were healed. In the name of Jesus, may the presence of God anoint our brother's faith. Lord God, may you bring it to pass in his body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Service Friday night at 7. Saturday at 7. Then Sunday morning at 11. The picnic will be Saturday morning. Brother Fred Mullins will be preaching. I'm not sure exactly what arrangement, what order they're going to be. And Brother Larry Nichols from up in Virginia. And then we're going to have an evangelist, Brother Diggs, that will be preaching for us the service as well. So we'll just look forward to see what the Lord will do for us. Let's sing it together as we go.